All right, so church, we are right now. It's our theme for the year is equipping the saints. And if you're visiting today, whether it's online or Melbourne or Sunshine Coast, a big welcome to you. So what that means is all through the year we're equipping God's people to fulfill God's call and purpose on your life. We're a church who believes that every member has a purpose, a call, and a mission, and we want to equip you for that. Then we also have a prophetic promise for 2025, one that Danielle was received from the Holy Spirit for our church, that 2025 would be a year of taking ground. And so both in the spiritual realm and your family, whatever that might mean, particularly for us here on the Sunny Coast, we're believing for the taking ground being a prophetic promise for our land that we want to buy so that we can build. Let me just catch you up to speed, Melbourne. We have a contract on the land that we once owned that will settle on August of 20th. It's unconditional, which is great. That will leave us around 1.8, 1.9 million in the bank. And we're currently renegotiating. We had an offer in on a piece of land at 36 Glenview Road, just over near, on a main highway spot. And we're currently renegotiating with new agents and resubmitting an offer around that. And so I am praying and believing, as we come to Powerhouse Conference at the end of this month, I'm praying and believing that we will be able to celebrate a contract on our land in time for our Praise Him Conference. That's what I'm praying for. Now, I'm also open to the fact that I might be doing this at this time next year as well. I'm just committed to pray until something happens. That's push. But I like to be focused and believe in God in a specific period of time. So we're launching, as a church, 10-day series, or 10 days of prayer and fasting tomorrow morning, Monday. Now, I apologize. I know a few of you have got birthdays. A few of you have got wedding anniversaries. I actually know some people who have already done their 10-day fast, so that they can celebrate birthdays and wedding anniversaries, which I think is commitment. So well done for those of you who've done that. You know who you are. Others are just going to have a 3-day binge in the middle of the fast, and that's okay, no judgment as well. Can I recommend over this next 10 days, because staying motivated when you're fasting, and again, if you're visiting today, you're going to hear about one very powerful and significant spiritual discipline that really has a significant impact for people. So even if you're not in a relationship with God, if you're new to church today, you're going to hear one of the disciplines that will change and transform lives. I don't expect you, if you're not part of our church or you're new, that you need to fast, but maybe you can just bank today away for a future relevant point. I would recommend some people to listen to or to watch to keep your inspiration up. So three of the really great people that I recommend that people listen to, one is Jensen Franklin. He is just renowned as kind of almost the modern day father of fasting in the church around the world. Every year, his church begins with a 21-day prayer and fast in his church's free chapel. He lists a whole lot of breakthroughs that people have during their 21-day prayer and fasting. So some of them are particularly family members who have been away from God for decades, in the middle of the fast, just suddenly ringing up and weeping and saying, I need to turn back to God. Something's changed in my heart. He talks about someone who had a $50,000 medical debt they got a phone call in the middle of their 21-day fast, and that medical debt was cancelled, and they attributed that to fasting. So lots of, you know, to encourage ourselves, highly recommend Jensen Franklin, either his videos, podcasts, or his book. Also, another one is Dr. Bob Rogers, who I've met. He's in Evangel World Prayer Center in Kentucky. His father, whose name was Pastor Rogers, I've got it written down here. Dr. Wayman Rogers is the person who led the Colonel to Jesus, KFC Colonel. That's true. It would be a good day to go into holidays, just going out with a KFC today before you start. But the Colonel was loaded, rich, successful in business, and got to this stage in his life where he was dissatisfied. And so he was, of course, in Kentucky, and this church was in Kentucky. He went along to this Pentecostal church. He had some issues that he was talking about. He gave his life to Jesus in this particular church. As a result of prayer and fasting in the church, he got saved, water baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Began to speak in tongues, and his life began to turn around. Dr. Bob Rogers talks about regular fast and 21-day fast particularly, and talks about a moment when they're in the middle of a building project where a business person not from his church that he didn't know just rocked up in the middle of the fast and gave them a $1 million check for their building. Things happen when we fast. Breakthroughs happen when we fast. Debt collection happens. Prodigals return to Christ. Healings happen when we fast. And so this morning, the title of my message, we're in a Taking Ground series, is It's Time to Fast. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to fast. Okay, it's time to fast. If you need to hear God's direction for your life, it's time to fast. You can join with me in a few moments. If you have a family member or a friend who needs salvation, it's time to fast. If you need to hear God speaking to you more clearly, it's time to fast. If you have a promise from God that's not yet been fulfilled, it's time to fast. I can hear you, Melbourne. You're doing so great. If you need a financial breakthrough, a relational breakthrough, or a health breakthrough, can I tell you? It's time to fast. If you need more spiritual passion in your life, it's time to fast. If you need more spiritual power in your life, come on, Melbourne, let me hear you. It's time to fast. If you need freedom from torment or some addiction controlling your life, it's time to fast. If you need a miracle in your family, your business, or your life, it's time to fast. Amen. Turn to your second favorite neighbor on the other side and say, that's also for you today. You're not off the hook. Come on, John Owen. Turn to your other neighbor. I know you're doing it right now. Fasting, simply put, is going without, abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. That's what fasting is it's abstaining from food, not for spiritual purposes. It's called dieting or starvation or whatever else you want to go with. But abstaining from food for spiritual purposes is called fasting. Jesus talks about the big three in Matthew chapter 5. He talks about the big three because they're expected to be disciplines of followers of Christ. And so he says, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. He doesn't say, if you pray, if you give, and if you fast. He says, when you do these things, and he goes through a description of how to do it, particularly pertaining to personal devotional life in our world. So it would be kind of clear to think like this, that if you want breakthrough, if you want God to do something in your life, then there's three things that you can kind of string together that have got significant spiritual power. You're giving, you're praying, and you're fasting. And so I want us to have a look this morning at one of the greatest fasters in the Bible. His name's Daniel. We even have a fast that we name after him called a Daniel fast. And I'll talk about this a little bit later on. In the book of Daniel, who's one of the Old Testament prophets, there's three different fasting moments that are recorded through the book of Daniel. One is an early on, so Daniel is a young man when Jerusalem goes into exile and they're taken over from Jerusalem. The Israel people have disobeyed God. The Israel people have disobeyed God's commandments. God keeps sending prophets to warn them, if you don't turn and repent and love me and honor me, then you're going to suffer the consequences of that. And they just keep ignoring God, keep living life their own way, keep ignoring God's commandments. And eventually God comes and through the prophet Jeremiah, prophesies that you're going to spend 70 years in exile. Many of you will lose your life, and someone from another country, from Babylon, will come and they'll take you into what is modern day Baghdad, Babylon, and they'll take you into Babylon, and you will be in exile. You'll be treated harshly. You'll be slaves, as it were, for 70 years until your hearts return back to God. And so Daniel is one of the teenagers we expect in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the ruling king of that particular day of the Babylonian era. And these teenagers, amongst numbers of others who didn't lose their lives, they marched thousands and thousands of miles into a foreign land to become exiles. And Daniel is one of the young men, and I'm going to talk tonight. So sorry, Melbourne, you can listen to the podcast from tonight, but I'm going to talk tonight about how Daniel set his face to a lifestyle of fasting as a very young man. He didn't taste of the culture of the day. In fact, he was set apart, and him being set apart set him up for life. So early on in the book of Daniel, we read about Daniel not being contaminated by the delicacies of what the king's servant would eat. So that's the first time we realize Daniel's a devoted person, and we learn about his lifestyle of fasting. But then later on in Daniel chapter 9, which we're going to focus on today, and then Daniel chapter 10, we read of two other fasts. Daniel chapter 10 is the fast where he begins to cry out to God, and God says, I sent an angel with an answer for you. The angel comes and says, I was opposed in the spirit realm by the prince of Persia. And we get this whole insight into spiritual warfare and what happens as we're praying and fasting. God's sending answers, but there's delays happening in the spirit realm. So sometimes you got to fast longer, pray longer to get an answer, because it's not that God's a no, it's just that in the spirit realm, there's opposition and warfare going on. That's Daniel chapter 10. That's not today's topic. I want to talk to you out of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. Let's have a look at this. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. Darius the Mede, the son of that guy, who became king of the Babylonians. King of the Babylonians. So what we see is in Daniel chapter 9, we're basically somewhere in the late 60, maybe 67, 68 years into captivity. Daniel, you're going to get rocked by some things today, some pictures that you thought about Daniel. Okay, Daniel was trained as a teenager, and then he rose to the top to become one of the top officials in the government of a foreign culture. He was so wise, he was so switched on, he was so learned, he had such a leadership and administrative gift that he became the key leader, actually under four different kings. The first one was Nebuchadnezzar, who's the one who threw Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego into the fiery furnace when they were young and they cried out to God. And he served him for 43 years. Then Belshazzar, who they believe, not like Shazzar, your Aussie Sharon, but Belshazzar, just to be clear. Belshazzar, who was a co-regent, served for, we think he's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He served him for another 3 years. Then Darius comes along, and he's a Persian Mede, and that they overthrow that particular government. So a new guy comes to town. If you remember the scripture, there was the writing on the wall. That's what happens. They're judged because they haven't turned to God, and they've exalted themselves. And so Darius comes along, and what's happening, and then after another 2 years, Cyrus the Great. So the Persian emperor comes along. And so you see Daniel serves 43 years for Nebuchadnezzar, 3 years for his grandson, 2 years for Darius the Mede, and then another at least three for Cyrus the Great. So interesting fact, when we get to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's in his 80s. So when Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, which happens under Darius the Mede, Daniel's in his 80s. Daniel's, you know, you've seen the little picture of sporty Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den, you know, with his little turban looking amazing. No, Daniel's in his 80s. He has faithfully served God through serving in a foreign culture for decade after decade of exemplary service, of exemplary honoring of God, living in a foreign culture, but he's kept himself righteous and pure. God's kept elevating, and he gets to this moment, and interestingly, it's this fast that probably gets him in the lion's den. That just goes with spiritual warfare. So we find this out. So this is what happens. It was the first year of Darius the Mede. All right. So during the first year of his reign, verse 2 of Daniel chapter 9, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So he's reading Old Testament scripture and scrolls, and he realizes that there were prophecies, and he would have heard about this, but obviously in his, maybe it's his daily reading, we don't know, but God's prompted him again of a prophetic promise or something that was made over the people of Israel over 70 years ago, that this day was coming, and now they're in the late 60s. They've been here for 67, 68, maybe 69 years, we're not exactly sure. They've been in exile for that amount of time, and Daniel reads this scripture and realizes there's a prophetic promise that's not yet been fulfilled. So of course what he does is he goes, well, I'm in my 80s, I'm too old to fast, so God, you gave the promise, you should fulfill it. No, he doesn't. In his 80s, as a man of influence, one who people have looked to for years as the Jewish representative across decades of government, in his 80s, he gets on his knees and says, I need to practice what I've always practiced because I need to align myself, humble myself, and I actually need to partner with God to pray his prophetic promise into reality. And this is what fasting is all about. So then it says, so I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. So he wore like a Hessian bag underneath his clothing. There's a few things I want us to notice about what happens as Daniel, who sets his example of fasting. First of all, Daniel fasts when he's young and Daniel fasts when he's old. So what I love about our church is we're multi-generational. What I love about our church is that the prayers of a 15-year-old can be equally as effective as the prayers of a 75-year-old. What I love about our church is there's a fervency and a passion of people who know what it is to get before God and to cry out to God and who know what it is to fast. I love that we've got people like Judy Phillips in the room who for decades have been crying out and fasting and saying, God, bring the promises. I met last week and we had a little bit of time with David and Janice, people who have been around in Melbourne for decades again in the kingdom of God, John and Sigrid, and they know what it is to pray and to fast and to release the presence of God. So age is not a disqualifier or a qualifier. You don't retire from seasons of fasting, somebody. Come on, somebody. Just give me an amen right there. That's not a targeted announcement for anybody, Pastor Simon. That's just whoever it might be today, just having fun. All right, here's the next thing. That Daniel's not too old, but he's actually going, God, just because you prophesied it, doesn't mean it's going to automatically come to pass. Prophecies are potential. They're potential. Lots of prophecies have attached to those prophecies a if you will. If you'll do this, I'll be with you. If you'll do this. And so for us as a church, and particularly, we've got a list of things we're believing God for as we fast. This is a corporate fast. I believe that a Christian should have a lifestyle of fasting where we fast, maybe it's one day a month or maybe it's one day a week or whatever it might be, but we have a lifestyle of fasting. But together, twice a year, we fast. Sometimes we do a 21-day fast. Some years we've done four 10-day fasts. This year we're doing two 10-day fasts. We did one earlier in the year. And so we come together and say, as a body of believers, as a church, we're believing God for his promises to come to pass. We're praying for salvations. That's always number one on our list. We want people to come to Christ. We're praying for our Powerhouse conference at the end of this month. I'll touch on that a bit later. We're praying particularly for the promises that God's given us around our church land here on the Sunshine Coast. Now, Melbourne, I want you to come with me because what I'm about to share is not just about the Sunshine Coast. It's about us. What will happen is there'll be moments where the Sunshine Coast will break through something and it'll flow on for you. Other times you'll break through something and it'll flow on for us. But there's particularly part of our dream for the decade is I see us and we see ourselves in our facilities on the Sunshine Coast. It's a landmark facility. It's a result of a series of miracles that echo around the nations. And really, this prayer started in 2013 with a prophecy from a well-renowned prophet in our C3 movement called Vicky Simpson. I want to put it up on the screen, and I'm going to read it to you because maybe for those of us in Melbourne, you haven't heard this prophecy, but we own some land. We thought we were going to build on that land, and she came and prophesied this. The Lord wants you to know that he's been actually holding it off for a season, that your times and your season are not dictated by lack, says the Lord. Your times and your seasons are determined by me, that I would open and I would shut, says God. Is not the key of David on my shoulder, that I can open what no man can open and I will shut what no man can shut? And I have been holding it back for a reason and for a season, says the Lord. It goes on and says, next part, so I will do, so this is February 2013, says the Lord, 12 years ago, exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all you could ask or think. And God says it will be a landmark facility, not just in this region, not just in this state, but even in the nation, says the Lord. So that was a prophecy God gave to us. And then, you know, I won't do them today, but there's about six prophecies that followed from independent prophets about God and faith and breakthrough and land and significant, something significant. So when we come to fast as a church, one of the things we're doing is we're saying, God, you said, this is your promise. This is your prophecy and humbling. Now, this is what fasting isn't doing. It's not a hunger strike. It's not like, I'm not going to eat until you answer me, God. We're not, that's not, he doesn't move like that. It's also not about changing God. Fasting's not about, come on, God, you need to change. No, fasting is about changing us so that we come into alignment with the promises and potential that God has for us. So we're going to be over the next 10 days. Would you believe with us? I know we have 100 intercessors in the church who are praying for an hour every week. Can you particularly zone in that we'll get a breakthrough with our church land, that that prophecy will be fulfilled as a church? Are we doing all right? The second thing, so fasting is about going after promises and prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Now that's the church, but what about you? What's God said over your life that's not yet been fulfilled? What's God said over your family? What are the promises that God's, it might be a prophecy, but it might be rhema promises, things that the Bible's come alive. What's God said? And right now you're like, I can't ever see how that could happen. Well, it'll be great to take that down and write it down and say, God, as I'm fasting, I'm believing that you're going to be, because more often than not, prophecies aren't, they're not checkers prophecies, they're chess prophecies. More often than not, when God's going to move in your life, it's not just A plus B equals C. It doesn't work like that. More often than not, God's moving someone from here over to there and he's repositioning you here over there and he's like 15 moves ahead and you're like, I can't even see. Is God even moving right now? Is God even doing anything right now? He's moving, all right. He's just playing chess. He knows exactly what he's doing. So this is the thing. There's a faith that attaches to fasting that says, Lord, I'm aligning to believe that in my family, in my life, in my destiny, in my calling, you're at work and you're moving and I'm fasting. And part of it, this is what fasting does, is it's humbling ourselves. My flesh hates fasting. My body, like, you know, I've been in denial all week. I try to have less sugar. I like try some to have less sugar days, but I've been on it all week. Just like, I'm loading. It's coming. I can feel it. I'm like, Danielle, she tapers off. I'm like, as much coffee as I can till the very last moment. Give me that crunchy. How good are Violet Crumbles? I'm telling you. All the food, right? I'm just going for it. And my flesh is like, no, you don't want to fast. You don't want to fast. But then I come to a point and, I'm like, Lord, I need to inspire people to fast. You better speak to me. And he did. Ouch. And so he speaks to me about what he wants me to do and what we're believing for. And so part of it is, you know, I don't like fasting and what it does to my body, especially the first 3 days. But I love the results of fasting. I love what, and this is why 3 day fasts are good, but 3 day fasts are just like a pain thing. They're just like pain. So can I give you a tip? Don't just do 3 day fasts on an ongoing basis because you're just going to be suffering all the time. Go a bit longer so you can get into the glory phase of fasting. day four, day five, and when the caffeine withdrawals are gone and the sugar withdrawals and the toxins are being washed out. There's lots of medical benefits to fasting, lots, but that's not what I'm here to talk to you about. If you have a medical condition, make sure you get medical advice before fasting and how you're going to go about it. But it's in essence, and I love what Jensen Franklin says, he says, fasting is dethroning Lord's stomach. Your king appetite, which if it rules your life, it needs to be dethroned. It needs to be like, you're not ruling over me. Jesus is on the throne of my heart. And so I'm reminding myself. Fasting is humbling ourselves. I'm not recommending that you get Hessian bag underwear for the next 10 days. Not like a recommendation, but there was a discomfort about fasting. It was something that it's like, there's a reminder. Okay, don't think about that too much, Teresa. There was a reminder that this is not supposed to be pleasant. This is actually supposed to be a little painful as a reminder. And part of it is I'm humbling myself. God, I need to humble myself. I need you. I need you to come in and change my thinking and soften my heart. David says in Psalm 35:13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. There it is again. I humbled myself with fasting. Fasting is one of the most powerful ways that you and I can say, I'm dependent on God. I need God to move for me. I need God to shift my attitudes. I need God to change my heart. James 4 verse 10 says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5 verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. There's different types of fasts. So let me give you a few of them. And let just part of this whole journey, if you've never fasted before, ease your way in. The traditional fasting is where someone just has water over the period of the fast. That's traditional fasting. There's another variation of fasting, liquids fasting, where you have water and juice and maybe some broths. That's liquid fasting. There's the Daniel fast that we know, not the Daniel Frecker fast, but the Daniel fast from Daniel in the Bible. And that's usually when you have no meat, no sweets, no breads, alcohol, soft drinks, sugary foods. So you eliminate the things that you enjoy so that you're still eating for strength and functionality, but you're eliminating those things. So, you're taking breads out, which reminds me, actually, there's a movie coming out about the beginning of Baker's Delight. They asked me to be in it. They asked, could I play a small role? A small role in the movie, sorry. Just, okay. Cutting breads out. Sorry. All right. Just keep going, Pastor. Stay focused. So what, there's lifestyle fasting. Just stay focused. There's lifestyle fasting. Lifestyle fasting is where in addition to fasting food, you fast some things that use up a lot of your time. So it might be social media. It might be Netflix or TV. So basically, because the point of fasting is not just to deny ourselves and humble ourselves, it's to allow ourselves to seek God more. So you can go without social media, but that's not actually biblical fasting. Biblical fasting is going without food, and then you might add to it some lifestyle things, but biblical fasting is where your stomach feels hungry, all right? And so then, now it's cool to not watch stuff and to, if things rob your time, to give that to the Bible and give that into prayer. Really, really cool. But biblical fasting is going without food. Now, don't be religious. If there's a special occasion in your life or your family, just partake. Don't be the weird Christian who says to all the unsaved people, I'm fasting, sorry. Just, look like you're having something at least. Go along for the... don't pig out like it's the big moment. Don't go, awesome, this will last me 3 days at least. Or you're just going to reset the detox period, all right? So just helping. When you do start and the humbling in the first few days of fasting as you're detoxing, it's not fun. God feels a million miles away. The Bible is not suddenly opening up to you incredibly in the first few days unless you just don't eat sugar or caffeine or normal stuff, and it's just like not, life is normal for those of you who live that sort of life. But for others of us, there is definitely a detoxing. There's headaches. There's you need to sleep more when you fast. That kind of is part of it. So factor that into your world. The last thing I want to say from Daniel. So he goes on and he fasts. In that particular fast, we don't know how long. The first Daniel fast is a 10-day one. The third one is a 21-day one. We don't know with this one, but this is what Daniel chapter 9, 20 and 23 says. I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord of my God in Jerusalem, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, so this is Gabriel from the archangel Gabriel, the one who stands beside God, the one who visited Mary, whom I'd seen in an earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I've come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. Come on, somebody, I want you to know. Tomorrow morning, your first request, your first prayer, as you set yourself to fast, God's hearing your prayer and giving commands. The moment you began to pray, a command was given. And now I'm here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. This is awesome. The small summary from this is God rewards fasting. He rewards fasting. Make sure we have our theology right. We don't earn our salvation. That's a free gift from God. But then there are blessings and the kingdom of God coming into different aspects of our life that's a reward from God as a result of our activity. And one of those activities that God rewards, the Bible is very clear, is fasting. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of what? Those who diligently seek him. Matthew 6, 17 and 18, he's talking about when you're fasting, anoint your head, wash your face, don't go pretending life's come to an end, you know, you're just dying, don't do that. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There is a reward that goes with fasting. A reward directly from God. The reward for Daniel was a supernatural encounter. He saw an angel. You can expect, and even as we come to Powerhouse Conference at the end of the month, I know we've got almost 60 Melbourneites coming up, you can expect encounters with God as a direct result of your fasting. It's part of the reward. Within the next couple of years, the exiles returned to Jerusalem. The prophecy was fulfilled, and so you can expect that part of the reward of fasting is the fulfillment of prophetic promises over your life. You can expect, that's what God's like, oh, I love it. They're drawing on me in prayer and fasting. And then here's the bonus content. Daniel was fasting for the fulfillment of a prophecy, but he got probably the most mind-blowing prophetic revelation of much of the Old Testament. It's called the 70 weeks prophecy. As a result of this, he's fasting for this, that the exile would be completed, they'd return to Jerusalem. While he's fasting for that, that happens. But over here, the angel comes and says, I'm going to tell you what's going on it's the messianic prophecy. We're not going to go into it today, but it's mind-blowing. And a lot of it's already been fulfilled as different governments have come and gone before Jesus. He wasn't fasting for it, but he got revelation. God rewards fasting with supernatural encounters. Probably the thing I find the greatest when I fast is this. I find that the Bible opens up to me like never before. I find that the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside gets louder and clearer. And again, this is all post day three. And then I find on the other side that the sense of God's presence just exemplifies. It's amazing. To the point often when I'm fasting, I'm like, I should just live like this all the time. It's so amazing. And then I smell some of Danielle's cooking and then I'm like, okay, no, I need to eat. So we'll break that fast eventually. Can we close our eyes right now? We've seen prodigals return as a result of fasting, financial breakthroughs, houses. We've seen so much happen as a result of seeking God. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Melbourne, just close your eyes as well. I want us just to ask God right now, Lord, what do you want me to fast? What kind of fast? What are you believing God to do during that fast? I encourage you to write these three things down over today. What are you fasting for? What are you actually going to fast? What type of things are you going to go without? So you make a pre-commitment. And then ultimately, I love to set a prayer goal. How much are you going to pray each day? And what are you going to remove out of your schedule to allow yourself to pray more? So Father, I pray that there'll be faith attached to this next 10 days. Not religious duty, but faith as we step out to see the power of God released, encounters with you, closer to you, humbling ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.